In this second segment, we have questions submitted online by city residents. You each have 1 minute to answer. Okay, first, Mr. Barnes, what would you cut in the current budget to increase the road?
To be honest with you, I haven't studied the budget to the extent where I know what can be cut. I've heard a lot of opinions, and the numbers that I've seen are so small that they won't make any real impact in it. I think one of the things that a city council person needs to do is get closer to the budget, the people that work for the city, and see what's going on, and then make a decision. I'm not prepared right now to say, we're gonna cut this and this and this if I get my way, because I haven't seen the areas where there's a lot of waste, and there are differences of opinion, and that's what we're talking about, is people living together in a community and reaching a consensus and an opinion of where that money needs to be spent.
The way, and I apologize, that was $450,000, which Rob probably suspected. I would love to cut $450 million from our budget and share it with every one of you. The way our budgets are made, we have a very able city manager, and he prepares a budget, and then it's brought before our city council, who can amend it if they want, and then they approve it. But there are many pieces, and so to say one thing could be taken out to pay for the roads is kind of hard, because there are pieces to many things. So to decide that, one would have to look at the budget as it was presented by the city manager and say, well, this is a higher priority than the roads, or this isn't. And so I'm not able to give you a specific answer to the pieces that I would take out to pay for the roads.
Yeah, I'll speak to the process of our budget, and that is it's a zero-based budget. Every department head does not default to what they had last year, and then let's just see what you need, what more you need. It is, let's start from zero. And it's a very thorough process that takes months and months and months. And so what would I cut? I think I might have to say I'm guilty of, I probably wouldn't cut anything, because I would have already. I've been in that position as an incumbent. But I will say this, that every dollar that we can, we look at it objectively, and we know of our priorities. Our top priority as a council has been infrastructure. Infrastructure is holistic. It's not just roads. It's everything that's underneath them. It's the things you don't see. It's the very water that you drink. And it's a very expensive process when you start to undertake those things. And so I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying that there are high prices to that, and we look for every penny, and we will defer bell savings to infrastructure. I will.
I think the first place that I'd probably start is in our phone bill. The city pays a lot, and we have a very antiquated phone system. For some city employees, we pay for them to have a landline and a cell phone, which I think is paying for two things. And a lot of people nowadays just use a cell phone. I've been working for 3 years trying to be able to find a solution. I think I found that and got very close and presented that to the city administrator, and look forward to hopefully bringing that to the council here pretty soon, but that would cut our phone bill in half. The other thing that I think I'd take a look at is how we accept credit card payments. We spend a lot of money by accepting city bills by credit cards, but we don't charge a convenience fee. And that's a lot of money that goes out, because we absorb that convenience fee. And so that's something we need to talk about as a community. We want to have the convenience of paying our bill, and that's the tune of over $80,000 a year just in convenience fees that we're soaking up. A big part of that is just because we accept American Express. Maybe we just accept Visa. But this is what you're going to get from someone myself. I'm going to be very analytical, roll up my sleeves, look into the budget, see what we can be able to cut, and add to that $1.8
million. First, Mr. Simpson, what will you do to help fix our neglected streets and sidewalks, especially in the older parts of the city?
To fix the neglected streets and sidewalks requires money, and going back to zero-based budgeting, you have a certain amount of money you can spend, and at zero-based, you go back and, like Brad said, you start over. You decide what the priorities are, and you take the priorities And once you reach the bottom, anything below there doesn't get money spent on it. Our roads are kind of divided into three groups. One, new. I wish I knew where those were. We have some in good condition, some in fair condition, and some that are beyond hope. And we are going to have to spend some money that we haven't spent so far to bring our roads up to where we can maintain them. Maintenance is the best place for them to be because they can be maintained at a relatively low cost and keep them going for decades. So we have to decide which roads have the high priority, how much money we're willing to spend, and we are going to have to spend.
You know, the road bond that we had a couple years ago, I think it gave real clear direction that the residents, I think about a 60-40 margin, did not want to do a tax increase for the roads. Some interpreted that as the roads are okay. Some, I've been told that. I've never really accepted that as probably what the residents were saying. They just did not want to borrow money for the roads. And so you pay as you go. And so we have implemented that process, the pay as you go. I think it's going to take a lot of patience and understanding of how roads work and how one on 300 North, for instance, is a collector road, how it might get more attention than a little cul-de-sac, because it's much cheaper to resurface and maintain that road, and everybody uses it. So we look within, and a really quick example too is we do more with less. We, as a council, passed for a new cemetery. We looked at acquiring property. We actually ended up taking a park, and people didn't like that, but it was more with less, and that was the direction we had.
I think, again, you got to roll up your sleeve and look for whatever options and solutions are available. So one thing we did this last year is we went in and we bought a street paver with the city of Lehigh and shared that cost. That's going to pay for itself within the first year from the savings we're going to have from doing that in-house. 980 North is one where we're taking that in-house and being able to do it. We also have to relook at our maintenance program, and that's one thing I've asked our street crews and I've really hammered Public Works on. And it's not popular, but you've probably heard of the chip seal where they used to come in and put tar down and then put chips on top of it. It's cheaper, and I actually think, in my personal opinion, it's more efficient than the micro resurfacing that they've been doing in the city. That's just from the research and study that I've done. I'm finding ways that we can be able to make that dollar go as far as we possibly can, and using all that to get the best bang for the buck and see how to be most efficient.
Tough when you get a question like that, and you're the fourth one, because basically everything has been said. We have to keep repairing the roads and maintaining the roads, as well as everything else the city does, in perspective. And right now, a lot of people feel that we've got the worst roads in the world. Hopefully you drive in some other cities. I've talked to people in other cities, and guess what they think? The same thing. We've got problems with the roads, there's no question about it. But we've got other things in the city that need to be taken care of. Police and fire and water and sewer and all these other things. And it really ultimately boils down to priority, as has been said. Yeah, so much money, you make decisions on how to spend it, just like you do on your personal budget.
All right, the next question is, Lehigh is doing a great job of attracting major new businesses. How can American Fork do better? Mr. Shelton, we'll start with you.
Thanks. I'm glad to report we're actually getting some businesses to relocate out of Lehigh because they've come to find out that isn't exactly the greatest spot to be. Lehigh boomed really, really quick, and they got some serious traffic issues there. And when we've done a lot better planning, we've been able to get other businesses that have been there to relocate and locate at American Fork. So I think we have a very, very competitive advantage. We also just recently got Ken Garf Chevy to be able to stay here within the city and do a big expansion as well, and they were looking at some property in Lehigh. So sometimes it looks like there's big buildings going up, but I think there's a lot going on in American Fork on the south and or west side of town, as you may look at it, that we're just not aware of. We're looking at a 450-acre development possibly. This last council meeting, we're going to have a joint work session on it. So there is a lot of great economic activity taking place right now. And I think we are very competitive with Lehigh.
I hear a lot of talk about those beautiful big buildings along the freeway in Lehigh. Those buildings generate property tax. the building, the businesses that have been coming to American Fork generate sales tax. Sales tax is great money for the city. It actually benefits, in my opinion, the city better than property tax does because of the way that money's divided out. My understanding is that Doug Smith, 80% of the cars that are sold by Doug Smith are sold to people that don't live in American Fork. And that's wonderful because they pay the sales tax and we get the benefit of it. And I think we're attracting the right kinds of, the appropriate kinds of businesses as we build it out on the meadows and things like that.
I agree that we have a lot of good businesses here. That our car dealerships bring in a lot of sales tax. We will have opportunities to bring in other things. I bet everyone here has a Costco card, and you see how much sales tax that generates for Lehigh. As Rob said, we're going to have opportunities to bring these in. We have space for them. Some of the incentives other cities have used to bring in to attract other businesses is taxes. They have slightly lower taxes. I've actually talked to people who a lady who said her son actually noticed that in a neighboring city that just what he normally bought was about 10 or 15 cents less on a dollar. And so he would shop there. I think it was a Walmart between here and Orem. But we have the opportunity, and we're attracting a lot of businesses. And this American Fork is a great city to live in.
I've never really felt like we're competing with Lehigh, and I don't think that was really the intent of the question, but maybe a little bit. But I think I'm okay with them prospering at the point of the mountain. We are prospering. We have a great advantage by virtue of our location. I think American Fork does, and businesses are coming. There's a great base that we've had here for a long time, and it is going to expand. We have 300 jobs coming down by the old Cow Ranch store, the Walmart, the young family oil. But so if a business, and this is what I've learned, I actually went to a 2-day seminar on it. They are looking for a model. CVS Pharmacy saw a model in American Fork, and so they have come here to expand. They are beholden to their shareholders, and if they'll find the ground and they can produce the revenue, they will expand. Starbucks is doing it, and others are coming, and we know that because American Fork is a great model.